Podcast. In conversation with musicians from the UK jazz scene. And now your hosts, Rob Cope and Dan Farrant.
Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. I am Rob Cope and I'm sitting here with Dan. How's it going, Dan?
Doing great, thanks. How about you, Rob?
Yeah, very good. Everything's under control. It's nice to be back. It's been a while.
When was it? Been like 4 weeks or something, has it been?
Yeah, we haven't been together since like September the 8th.
Oh, wow.
Did you just drop something?
I dropped a pen. I've put the pen down.
It sounded a lot bigger than a pen.
When I say I put it down, it fell, so...
It fell onto the mic. Yeah. Let's do some podcast news. As you can see, today's episode is number 29 with Sam Rapley.
29.
I know, we're getting along. I haven't done the next interview yet. So this is actually the first time ever in the history of the show that we're doing an episode with theoretically nothing in the can.
Right.
With any luck, if everything goes according to plan, the next show will be Shane Forbes.
Lovely.
Yeah, if everything goes horribly wrong, then the next show will not be Shane Forbes, and I don't know who it will be.
We'll see.
We'll see about that. So Sam Rapley has a Kickstarter for his album Fabled at the moment, which we talk about in the show, but if you want something constructive to Google, type in Sam Rapley Kickstarter and, buy an album now, and then he can make the album and post it to you.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Pre-order.
Pre-order, indeed.
Support the local artists.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, local, especially if you live in South West London. You should definitely buy it. You should feel obliged. So.
Where does Sam live?
He lives in St Margaret's, near Richmond.
That's near where you used to live.
Yeah, it's really close to my old flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. Cozy. So, quite pleased to have another jazz musician. Phil Meadows has just moved to Chiswick, so I feel something special happening.
That's posh down that way, isn't it?
Yeah, big time. That's central, grand central compared to where I live.
Well, you whereas all the terrorists were from where you're around, aren't
they? It just turned out to be an old couple, that Sunbury terrorist raid.
Oh, right.
I felt really bad for them, just an old couple who he was one of their foster children.
Yeah.
If you're not sure what's going on now, we're talking about what are we talking about? That time the police shut Sunbury down to... It was a few weeks ago after the failed tube bombing. Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting really off topic.
Yeah, I thought when I left Tottenham that the police presence might simmer down a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went to Rob Luft's album launch at King's Place last Friday, which was cool.
Yeah.
Sat next to Dave Stapleton by accident. So I told him all about the podcast, which was great.
And you've lined up an interview.
Big time. Well, not yet. I was playing it cool, but now I will.
Yeah. Well, he's probably listening to this.
I'm sure he is.
Lydia's just got home. Lydia, I'm just doing a podcast. Sorry.
Brilliant. This couldn't get any high budget. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Elliot Galvin has done a series of improvise. God, I've got so much to say because it's been so long since I've spoken to you. Improv shorts. If you go on YouTube and type in Elliot Galvin or improv shorts, there's some really... there's only one. It's the first of the series. It came out October 2nd. Like 90-second videos of him improvising. One-take wonders, if you will.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's something to watch.
Great.
And my sister got married.
Oh, she got married. Congratulations. Mrs. not Cope anymore.
One less of us. Mrs. Lomax.
Lomax.
But I, Chris Maddock and Johnny Silk, Tom Ford,
I have no idea who they are.
Andy Bunting.
No.
Not doing anything for you. Tom Moore, Flo's older brother.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There we go. I thought the bassist might liven you up a bit.
Yeah.
Those guys very kindly came and played.
Oh.
And Chris Maddock, he's a tenor player. He brought an extra mic and some charts, and let me play some tunes, which was very kind.
Oh, so you had a gig?
Yeah.
Great. Congrats.
The most amount of charity imaginable involved in me playing in public.
Sure.
It was great. I tried to make it a really cheesy, like, in the second set, you know, they were like, boy, oh boy, this tune could sure use another tenor saxophone or whatever. And so I'm on the dance floor and I fished out my sling thinking that my sister would be like, oh my God. But of course she was just like, what the hell is that? I was like, oh yeah, you don't, you know, the neck strap's not the most iconic part of the saxophone.
No.
That's for sure.
Oh, well, great.
Yeah.
I've got some jazz news.
Ooh, tell me.
We're doing it. We should do a meetup, like a jazz podcast meetup.
Yeah,
no,
that'd
one
be incredible.
Come to. So I'm going to propose Wednesday, as I'm meeting some people from Academy, at Academy.
Oh, yes.
Are you up for, are you free, Rob, on Wednesday?
I'm absolutely not free, actually. That's gone horribly wrong. But I still think we should do a meetup. Maybe I just won't go to it.
You just won't be at this one. We'll do the first meetup.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Academy Bar at 7 p.m.
On Wednesday, the 11th of October.
Exactly.
Sweet.
And then we'll go for a curry.
Oh, man.
Nick Smart is rumoured to be coming.
Oh, crap. All right. I might have to take a long, hard look at my diary.
Yeah. Make it happen.
I will. So let's talk to Sam.
Right.
Welcome to the Jazz Podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, Sam. So, first of all, how's your arm doing?
It's been better. So, for people who don't know, at the beginning of the summer, I managed to fall off a scooter whilst going down a mountain in Switzerland, which was quite stupid. And so I broke both my elbows. And so I've been out of action for a little while. But it's been very nice to have a bit of time to write some music, and I've got a load of stuff to do for my album. And yeah, but my arm is healing. Slowly, though.
Yeah. So, how many months till you can hold a saxophone?
Well, I can already... I've been practicing a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which is nice. But they said... They said when it happened that it would be 3 months from the operation.
Right.
So basically I had to have an operation to fix it all together. Because it was a bit smashed to bits. So now I've got a bionic arm, which is fun. Got loads of metal in it. And, yeah. But so it's probably another month or so until I can do gigs.
Wow, that's not long.
It's not too long. I mean, it's been 2 months. So yeah, it feels pretty long. I'm pretty excited to play again with people.
Definitely.
But you know, I can play a little bit. It's just like certain fingers don't quite work. It's really annoying. It's like... So it's because like the nerve got affected.
Yeah.
So it's the side of my hand that has the fourth and fifth finger on it.
Yeah.
The last two fingers. And so like you just forget how important this little finger is on the left hand for saxophone. So I can't reach a low B flat, which is the most depressing thing.
Yeah.
Which is the lowest note on the saxophone, and it's the most fun.
the most fun note on the saxophone.
Yeah. I use it regularly. It's like, you know, when you pick up your instrument, you have a certain thing that you do.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got their kind of little thing that they do when they sit down. And mine's just honk out a low B flat. And so I'm devastated that I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time.
That'll come back with some physio.
It'll come back. Exactly.
So can you tell us who you are?
Okay. I am Sam Rapley.
Yeah.
Is my name. Middle name, David. I'm from Manchester, which is how we know each other, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Copy that.
I think we met on a Niger gig, if I'm not very much mistaken.
I think we met on a gig that was Andy Schofield's big band at Band on the Wall.
Oh, well, that's much cooler. Let's go with that. That sounds better than... Yeah, okay, let's go with that. So, yeah, I'm from Manchester. I initially did classical clarinet. And then realised I wasn't that good at classical clarinet, so thought I'd switch to the saxophone properly. Then I started having lessons with Ian Dixon.
How did you find Ian?
He was amazing. Do you mean how did I literally locate him?
As like, he's the Yoda of our show because he comes up quite a lot.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Who else is he? You want a spoon? Who needs a spoon?
Oh, I don't know. We talked about him loads in Dave Green's show.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah. They've got that great album. Have you heard that album? Yeah, it's Time Will Tell.
Is that a trio that they have?
Yeah, it's Gene Calder up as well.
I will grab that spoon. Sam's just made a pot of tea on a lovely pink tray.
Lovely pink tray.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, sorry. So how did you... Like, how did you get into the clarinet and then the saxophone, even to begin with?
That's a very good question. Well, I desperately wanted to play the saxophone when I was young. I started on piano when I was like 7.
Yeah.
And then I really wanted to learn the saxophone because of Brian Ferry, weirdly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you heard Ian play?
I don't know if I heard Ian play. I heard the recording of Let's Stick Together, which is Brian Ferry and Roxy Music. So I don't know whether Ian's on that. I don't think he is, but maybe he is. But anyway, there's a really raucous sax solo on that, and it was just the best thing ever. And me, my brother, and my dad used to strip all the cushions off the sofas, put them all, like, lay the floor, so it was like a carpeted floor, and we'd just put that on full volume and go mental. And just jump around. We called it jumping music. It was the best.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great way to spend
your time. Yeah, so that kind of got me into like wanting to play the saxophone. And then when I went to secondary school, I was like, you know, really wanted to play it, but my fingers were too small. So I was very wee at this point. So that was sad. So I started on the clarinet.
That was sad.
It was very sad. I was gutted about that. Definitely. I was gutted about that because I was like so up for playing the saxophone and so up for playing the exact solo from Let's Stick Together.
Yeah. Can you play it now? Did you learn it?
No, never have.
You should have really.
Yeah, exactly. It feels too sacred. So.
Fantastic.
So I started on clarinet for that reason, and then did that for like 3 years.
Always knowing that you were going to play the saxophone.
When the time was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
when you least expected
The time came because of Jamie Safarudin.
Right.
Who we both know, and some of you may know. Because he's a piano player, and it was like the middle school jazz band or something, and I desperately wanted to join. There was no place for clarinets, and I wanted to join on the piano, but Jamie had picked me to the post.
Wow!
So he was the pianist. So I picked up saxophone and started learning that, and then that was the best choice I ever made. I think. It's just the builders next door.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I started playing saxophone, and here I am.
How did you find out about Ian Dixon then?
Well, he taught at my school.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
I see.
That was easy.
Didn't see that coming.
No. Yeah. So I had like some lessons with him when I first started, and he was saying amazing things, but they didn't make sense to me because I was like 14 and didn't know anything. And then I came back to him when I was like 18,
yeah,
and I knew what was going on to some extent, and then he said the same things, and they blew my mind, and they were great.
That makes me really happy to hear, because I had some lessons with Ian, but I didn't know of his existence till I was about 17 years old, and I worried. But you're right; the lessons, I only had 6 of them, but they were 6 spectacular, life-changing hours.
Yeah,
and probably wouldn't have been able to cope with it any younger. I couldn't really cope with it then.
Yeah. But they were great. It was basically, that was just like, very much I feel gave me like the sort of fundamentals I needed to start playing jazz, you know.
Right. And you'd always wanted to become a jazz turn.
Well, I think I didn't know that you could be a... I didn't know that being a jazz musician was like a thing.
Right.
Until I was sort of... until I heard about doing jazz at music college, and then I don't know, so I certainly didn't always want to be one. I didn't know if I wanted to be music. I kind of knew that I wanted to do probably something with music, but I was quite into languages as well, so I thought maybe I'd do something with that. So it's only when I was like 16, 17 that I thought I'll give music a go.
Wait, so when did you...
You look so confused.
I'm very confused.
Okay,
what?
Backtrack.
When did you did you apply for university as well as music college?
No. So I applied for music college.
Yes.
On classical clarinet.
Yes.
didn't get in.
Yes.
And then had a year out.
Oh, yeah, cool.
That might fill in the gap. So yeah, I had a year out, and then that's when I had like loads of, like, I had like weekly lessons with Ian.
Right.
And he sorted me out, and then I auditioned again, but for jazz.
On the saxophone this time. Where did you audition?
I auditioned at the Academy, Guildhall, Trinity, Birmingham, and Leeds, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you chose to go to Academy?
Yeah.
Because you knew that I was going there?
Mostly that. I just wanted to follow in your footsteps where you went.
Well, because we started at the same time. But I was a postgrad, so we weren't, like,
yeah,
quote unquote, in the same year.
No, yeah.
But we were sort of first years at the same time.
We were freshers.
Mm.
What a joy it was.
Big time, yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't know why I wanted to go to the Academy. I don't know.
Did you ever consider going anywhere else?
Yeah. Yeah. I knew I wanted to come to London, I think.
Yeah.
Again, not really sure why. It was just a sort of, in, you know, things are so much simpler in your head when you're like 16 and 17 and whatever. So I just thought London's the place to be. I go to London.
Yeah.
So I did, yeah. And yeah, Academy just seemed right.
Did you enjoy it? Yeah, I was deep so in deep thought. In thought. I was good gone.
Did I enjoy it? Yes, I had a great time. Yeah, it was really good. It was.
Is there any particular highlights that you look back on that you're like, yes?
Wow.
That moment, because for me it went. Actually, no, I won't tell the story.
But... No, tell the story. I need inspiration because I can't remember any of it.
There was this one time when we were at the Northern still in my fourth year, and they let me take a baritone saxophone solo on the opera set. We used to play those gigs in the Opera Theatre, and they hadn't had time to take it down. Can't remember what it was now, like a big mountain and steps. And
sounds glorious.
Oh, it was stunning, and I can't believe there was no, like, health and safety guy running over to me. Like I took a solo whilst walking down the stairs to my chair. And when I told Jack Davies about this, thinking Jack would be really proud of me, he, like, wrote me out of his will. It was shocking.
Oh, wow.
I know. Different. I know. And that was... that was a, what's the word? Maybe a tasteless thing to do in hindsight. Mm.
But a good story to tell.
It was like a Duke Ellington big band project.
Oh, wait, so it was actually a gig?
Yeah.
Wait, I hadn't quite grasped that. So this was on a gig.
To start like the second set. Pitch black, spotlight on the upper set. Baritone saxophone in hand.
Wow.
Went into moaning. Took a big... like a probably like a 48 minute baritone cadenza.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Well, there you
but
go.
Now, and of course, I look back on being at the RNCM. That's about the only thing I can remember.
Well, it feels a bit like that. But I mean, it was amazing. But it was such a whirlwind experience. You know, even though it was 4 years, which is like quite a long time.
Yeah.
It really feels like it just flew by, and it feels very weird thinking back to. So I graduated 2012, so no, I didn't. No, I graduated in 2014, that's right, yeah. Yeah, so I've been out for 3 years now.
Right.
So, yeah, it feels very weird thinking back, but I don't know what the best highlights would be. Some of the gigs, I think, like some of the ensembles we had were amazing. We had a really good
one with... small band projects.
Yeah. So, because we were great, because our year was just four of us. So it was quite nice, like
piano, bass, drums, and saxophone. Yeah.
So we got a really great chance to just, you know, play together loads, and
yeah,
and it just meant that when we had someone doing an ensemble, we got so much kind of one-to-one time, you know.
Yeah.
So we had a really great one with Oren Marshall, which was very.
Oh yeah. I did one with Oren. I wonder if I was in your one.
You weren't. Because it was four of us. I remember it.
Well, because yeah. I was in a year that wasn't a rhythm, like, we weren't a sensible year. We were two pianos, guitar, and saxophone. So yeah, all my ensemble time was in undergrad ensembles. We would all just be peppered.
Right.
Or in the postgrad ensemble, loads of undergrads would have to fill all the spare places, like not having a drummer, not having a bassist, not having a trumpet or anything. Oren started ours. I missed the first rehearsal, and in the second rehearsal I sat down and the rhythm section started playing something, And I sat for like, and I thought, right, I missed the first rehearsal. Just be cool, feel it out. And I sat still for about 20 seconds. And Oren leaned over to me and then he just went, f***ing play something on top of his voice. I was like, ah! It was so frightening. I was like, oh, s***, what have I got myself in for?
Yeah, but that's, yeah. It's great being subjected to that, though, isn't it?
And no, it is.
That
yeah.
way of thinking of just, you can get into a very kind of intellectual, you know, when it's like jazz and when it's contemporary jazz and it's difficult and you've got to, you know, do your thing or whatever and be conceptual and hip. But his thing is very much just get stuck in and enjoy, like, enjoy the music. He really taught me to just, like, you know, enjoy, and it doesn't always have to be taken super seriously. And we had a great in our concert. So we do the concerts, as you know, in the academy, you know, every kind of whatever term or something, every half term you do a concert. And
did Oren play on yours?
Yeah, he played on ours a bit. He was kind of playing and generally sort of,
that was my favourite thing about the course,
getting to play with those people.
They would play as as educate them.
But we started the concert and it was the same, like, we were going and there was a piece where there was a kind of free bit that was quite sort of noisy and, you know, making lots of noise. And he just came right up in my face and just screamed in my face. This was in the concert. And it was just the best thing. Like, no one has ever done anything like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the worst you get is, like, a angry look or sort of like a dodgy look from someone. You try and communicate someone something. But he just absolutely ploughed through that barrier and just, like, shouted. Because he wanted me to... I wasn't giving enough. And I was like, great, okay.
Yeah.
I need to do some more
message
now.
Message received.
Yeah, absolutely. Loud and clear. So, and I tried to respond appropriately. And but it was great, you know. So, not that I shout on all my gigs, but come to my gigs.
Yeah.
But,
So
that was good.
Yeah.
Go on.
What's been going on since you graduated?
Mm.
I know you've done so many projects with people, but tell us about your own band, just in the name of saving time.
Yeah. So my band is called Fabled, and it starts...
That's a great name.
Oh, thanks.
How'd you name it?
It was many sleepless nights in bed trying to think of a name and coming up with something, and it'd be absolute dog.
Yeah.
I have to try something else. Sorry, my last swear.
Yeah, you are, because I've sworn twice already.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I liked Fable because the kind of music of the band is very much trying to communicate stories, as all music is, really. But the kind of... I'd started writing music for this band in a kind of different way to how I normally had written. And so it's a bit more really wanting to take the listener through a kind of... a journey and allowing it to be a bit more through composed and different sections and kind of thinking about longer forms and things like that. So this, you know, some of the tunes are kind of a bit longer.
Yeah.
And experimenting with having different amounts of improvisation and things like that. And yeah, so that's kind of how it roughly came about. And then we did...
Does the word mean something?
Fabled.
Yeah.
Well, like a fable is like a story.
Oh.
Yeah.
Touché
to you. So we did, we formed basically for my final recital at Academy.
Who's in the band?
So it's Alex Monk on guitar, Matt Robinson on piano, Connor Chaplin on bass, and Will Glazer on drums.
Cool.
And me noodling away.
I see. Because they came to your birthday a few weeks ago.
They did.
And I was like,
like, these people.
Who the hell are these upstarts? Yeah, get away from Sam.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yes. So we did an EP, which was like basically the music that I'd written for my final. So that was four tracks, and that we did that in 2015, so like a year after I graduated. And that was our first foray into the world of releasing music. And then we've been doing various bits and bobs, sort of gigs, you know, around and about, around the country. And I've now written, well, about a year ago, I wrote a whole load of new music, and we've just recorded an album.
Cool. When did you record it?
We recorded it about this time last year, actually. So it was like end of October, so it was about 10 months ago.
Yeah.
But it's very exciting. And
which studio did you go to?
We went to Fieldgate.
In Wales?
Yeah, in Penarth.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. It's and they've got a really beautiful piano there, which was a lot of the reason for going there.
Yeah.
They've got a Fazioli.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's really nice. Revered more than Steinway's.
Yeah.
These are the most. There's some YouTube videos of Tom Corley.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like Tom and Fazioli. It's like, the piano is like a bigger deal, a much bigger deal than Tom Corley.
Well, he's not a big deal.
Either. No.
But it's a really nice studio, and it's kind of fairly rural, and we stayed in a nice little holiday cottage.
Did you do it over two days?
We did 3 days.
Right.
Yeah, three in a bit. So, and then there was quite a few days of like overdubs and things. So all the music was, it was kind of a potentially different approach to some other jazz albums, because it was, a lot of the music was written for the album. So we hadn't played it live all that much,
right?
Before we record, you know, and so it's written with kind of overdubs and certain instruments in mind. So one track's got features a violin, kind of playing the melody for most of it.
Yeah,
It's been a really interesting challenge, because there's some tracks where it's kind of lots of overdub parts. There's one track where it's just the trio, it's just piano, guitar, and me, and saxophone. But we did loads of kind of, to make it sound fuller, loads of overdubs of those guys playing. But now we've had to kind of try and do the reverse and work out how to play it live.
Yeah.
Which has been really fun. And
that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a bit of a kind of different way around. All this previous stuff I'd done was with other bands and things was playing the music loads so that you know it really well, everyone's really comfortable, and then going to record it, you know. So
yeah.
So it's quite nice doing it this way. It does present certain challenges, but we're working on it. So that's going to be released around March time next year. So we've still got a little while, and I'm busy doing lots of exciting things.
Which label lots of people. Are you guys on?
We're not going to do it with a label. We're going to self-release it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So what made you decide that self-releasing was the way to go?
I don't know. I want to have complete control over it.
Yeah.
Kind of. And so I want to be able to decide the artwork on it. And, you know, there's obviously pros and cons. And, you know, if a massive label, if ECM came up to me, I'd probably be like, yeah, you can release it on ECM. But it just felt kind of nice. You know, it gives us control and... Yeah, just sort of made sense, because Alex Monk, who's in the band, released his own album like a year ago now, I think.
Yeah.
So we might actually do it with his label, but
right,
we're yet to see. But it'll most likely be a self release. But
yeah,
we're still kind of working that bit.
Yeah,
a few months. Yeah, but
yeah, plenty of time.
Exactly.
Did you pay for all of the recording yourself?
I most certainly did. Yeah. So it's been. Yeah, that was kind of a lot of savings instantly gone into the recording.
Absolutely.
But it was definitely worth it. But we're actually doing a Kickstarter.
Which will be running when this show's released, probably.
Yeah, so the Kickstarter is out now for the benefit of those listening now.
For the benefit of those.
Almost certainly out now.
It's not the 7th of September.
Exactly.
Then it's out now.
Exactly. So we did the recording and the mixing, paid for myself.
Right. And who would be... Who mixed it?
Alex Kilpatrick.
Nice.
Who's fantastic.
I asked that for fun, but I knew what the answer
was. It's the answer to most jazz records that are coming out now.
I think it is.
Alex Kilpatrick, isn't it? Well, so he's been great. So we've done the recording and the mixing, but now we've got to do all of the rest, basically. So mastering, artwork.
Is this what the Kickstarter CDs?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. And because we're not doing it with a label, there's a certain amount of kind of other costs as well to take, you know, like actually manufacturing the CDs and distributing them and things like that. So
So
please do pre-order a copy.
So we'll put the link to this Kickstarter on the website, and on our Twitter and our Facebook, Michel Plaster, so that it's easily found, because then people can support it by just buying the album now.
Basically, yeah, it's a great, like, it's a really great model of doing things, you know, the kind of the way that the internet is going now, and actually there are kind of fewer labels, you know, doing things and putting money up front to record music, to record this kind of music anyway. So it is a great way. It's basically, you're basically just buying the album, you're just buying the album in advance, you know. So if I've done it, I've supported loads of projects where it's, I know I'm going to buy the album when it's out, so I just pay 10 quid and do it now.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or and then the good thing about these things is that if you want to pay a bit more, there's like loads of different kind of, they call them like rewards or whatever that you get. So if you want to put like 30 quid in or whatever, you get like a signed CD and something. You know what I mean? Like lots of little things. And
yeah. If you want to put Pete Lee did one on his where you could get like a gig.
Yeah.
A band would come to your house.
There you go.
I can't remember how much it was.
You can have very much the same experience with Fabled.
Fantastic. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What I'd like to see is that if you donate like a grand, that you can also then write a short story that you'll have to, you know, compose something.
This,
you know.
This is genius. This may be having a selected featured reward.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Recommended by Rob Cope. But we have got some cool things. We have got, there's a writer, a friend of mine called Irina Nadelsu, who I did a couple of short films with. I did the music for her films. And she's a writer. And so she's writing some actual short stories, because the album is going to be called Short Stories.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Which all ties in with the story theme.
Yeah.
So she's going to write some actual short stories influenced by the music. So she's kind of taken three tracks from the album that she really likes,
right?
And so that's going to be a kind of limited edition CD a kind of insert with those stories in it, and some nice artwork.
What led you to kind of this whole, the feeling of the story, more like longer pieces?
I don't know. Like, I think that's just a lot of the music that I really like, I feel sort of speaks to me in that way. Like, I like a lot of classical music like romantic music.
Yeah.
In the way, it just feels so different from a lot of jazz that I've heard, in the way that it's very fluid with how it moves, you know, and it kind of moves through keys and through feelings, and it can be very kind of up then down and changing around, you know. Like one of my all-time favourite pieces is Ravel String Quartet, as if you know it. But it's the best piece of music ever.
Right.
Everyone should listen to it.
Right. Stop the show.
It's amazing. But just the way that it's just so fluid. You know what I mean? It just kind of moves and develops and then suddenly changes. And then it's quite, you'll understand if you listen to it, basically. Yeah. But it's a bit hard to explain. But so I kind of really like that, and I wanted to get a little bit of that going in, because a lot of the kind of jazz that I've played is very much, it's more kind of, you sort of get into a thing and then it sort of stays on that thing for a while.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, whether it's a sequence or like a vamp or whatever, which is amazing as well. And there are bits of that within my music for sure. But I just wanted to kind of, I don't know, there's kind of that, but a lot of it is trying to kind of explain it and make sense of it now, whereas actually at the time I just kind of wrote and that was what happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then and then I sort of realised that that was what it was, and so I tried to put a name to it. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, sort of comes from just sort of doing it and it coming out, and then you work out what it is and what you call it, you know.
Yeah. What were some of the other projects you've done that you've really enjoyed
since leaving, the bands that I'm currently in I'm really enjoying are there's a band called Waju, which is mega. It's run by Ben Brown, who's a drummer. Mm-hmm. You know Ben, right?
I love Ben. He's so. He's great. He's very. He's very interesting.
He's an interesting guy. He's an interesting guy. Most people say we look very similar. This is a completely useless thing to say on a podcast. I'm aware, but you know,
an audio show.
Look up pictures.
So well.
Yeah. So
used to love doing jazz lookalikes.
Well, there you go. There's your next one. So that's really cool. So that's tunes that he's written, but over the years it's become more collaborative, which is really nice. So we've all had an input. So it's with drums, percussion, guitar, bass, and saxophone.
Cool.
And it's kind of African and Brazilian music.
Yes.
Kind of mashed up a bit with a bit of jazz. And yeah, he's really into a lot of kind of grooves, music that makes you move, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's really fun because I love a lot of that as well. I had a phase where I was mad on Brazilian music. So
when I used to spend a lot of time with Marek Schmuel.
I did.
You did Rhythms in the City.
Rhythms of the City. Did. Yeah.
God, trying to look really well educated. You did Rhythms of the City.
Yeah, it was great. It was absolutely amazing. I learned loads from doing it.
Can you explain what it is?
Yeah, it's a batteria. So it's basically loads of drums and like some singers and a guitar.
Right.
And it's so much fun. So it's kind of very traditional in Brazil, in Rio. You know, they have like carnival. They have, you know, hundreds of these samba schools and these baterias, and they parade. And yeah, so it's, you know, and it's dance music. It's music to party to, and it's joyous and fun. And yeah, so it's different types of drums. So you've got like a surdu, which is a big low one, caixa, snare drum, all sorts of things. Yeah, and then usually singers and guitar, maybe bass. And it was brilliant. Yeah, we used to go every Sunday, go into the basement at City University. And
oh, I've been down there.
Yeah.
Interviewed Barak for the film about Richard Turner.
Right, cool.
Yeah, he got out these called, I can't remember, the Queen or Funeral drums or something.
Okay.
He got some stuff out that was cool. Like bigger than him.
Right.
That looked great.
Yeah.
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 It's just like, do a solo.
It's quite a cool room. There's loads of crazy drums in there and stuff.
Does Barak run that group?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And he's amazing. Like, it's basically a kind of, it's like a working band, but also just a massive opportunity to learn.
Yeah.
You know? So he's amazing at teaching new people. You know, so I went in, as many other people did, with no knowledge of samba at all. And, you know, I'm not a percussionist, I'm a sax player.
Yeah.
And kind of him and other people in the band just taught me. It's a great way of learning, of just kind of, you get a little bit of information and then you have to learn by just watching. You know, right. So when you're playing like caixa or whatever, you know, the snare drum, you're right in the middle. Everyone's standing, you know, so it's all drums on straps and everything, it's for parading. You know, you're standing in the middle and you've got like people on either side of you and in front of you, and you just kind of watch them and kind of, you know, because I didn't know how to hold like a pair of sticks.
Yeah.
I was like, you know. Yeah. And, you know, generally the first few months, really, I just mashed up my hands, you know, like trying to whack these drums. But yeah, it's being in that environment of learning by
osmosis.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just having to pick stuff up for yourself, you know.
Yeah.
It's very different to the experience of academy, which is being in a room and, you know, one-to-one with someone, and it's much more intellectual a lot of the time, which is fantastic as well.
Hence Oren screaming at me.
Absolutely, yeah. but yeah, it was good. It felt like a very good balance to have those two ways of learning at that time, having the academy being the sort of traditional way, and then Barak's band a bit more kind of that way, the sort of community learning.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then going back to your band's question, so that's Wadu. And then Misha's band, Misha Malavabardo, playing his sextet, which is a lot of fun.
He is a newly elected new generation artist.
Yeah, I know. So that's really cool. That's very cool. Yeah.
So hopefully there'll be some more, even more than ever.
Yeah.
For that band as a result.
Yeah, I think we're doing some
radio.
Yeah, we're doing radio. Some BBC radio sessions and things. And
sweet.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's really good fun. So I joined it nearly 2 years ago. And that's with So it's three horns line up. So it's me, Matt Hurd on alto, Jim Davison on trumpet, and then Liam Donoghue on piano, Scott Chapman on drums, and Meet the Man himself on bass.
It's really annoying to hear about this, because a few years ago I went to France with Liam and with Misha, and they were both studying at Cambridge.
Oh, right.
And I was at Academy.
Oh, no.
So I was like the one, you know, on the jazz course in a position of knowing what it's like to study jazz. And they were both like, oh, we'd love to move to London and do, you know, get on the scene, study some jazz, you know. And I was like, yeah, you should do it, whatever. And now, like, Misha's a new generation artist, I know. And I'm like, oh, shit. I could have sold him down the river.
Like, don't come, man. It's not worth it. It's not worth going to London.
Yeah, that's what I should have done. Yeah, there's no more new generation artists. It's all about me now.
And then you wouldn't be sitting here talking to me. You'd be new generation artist Robert Cope.
Maybe. Yeah, that'd
be a very
good, different
life for you, Rob.
I think the best I can hope for now is to be interviewing Misha on radio. And just be glad to be out of the house.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a lovely cat at your house, though.
Yeah, I do.
If I were you, I don't think I'd want to leave. I absolutely love cats.
Yeah.
And I desperately want a cat, but I can't have a cat because I don't have a garden and they'll piss on the floor. That's what cats do, right?
They're very well house trained.
That's good.
Yeah.
Have you got a garden? Is he just indoor?
He's an indoor cat. Oh. He's a ragdoll.
Because
they're an indoor breed. I didn't want to deny a cat. So he lives in the one bed flat with us, and he has a litter tray which he's very good at using.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they're really clean animals, so he doesn't smell or anything, you know. He's a lot cleaner than I am.
I now have no excuse.
Yeah,
I do have asthma, which is not great with cats.
But no, would you have to get like a hypoallergenic cat?
We also can't have pets here because we're renting, but you know.
Yeah. Well, my last two landlords let me have pets.
Oh, really?
It said no pets in the contract, but when we asked them, they were just like, so long as you would be willing to pay for any damage it does. Which is basically paying for a new carpet and all new doors.
That is fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. I don't know how we got into cats, but...
No, he ruined a podcast this morning.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I was in the middle of a show with Dan, and he just, like, decided that he would kill my foot. But I had bare feet, and he just sank his teeth into it. It's great though. I love, like, he's a bit like Oren. Like, he was getting bored and he wasn't happy. So it's like, that's it. Why not I just take a piece out of you and then we'll see who's in charge?
Absolutely.
So, will there be a launch tour with your album?
Yes.
You hope so.
There will. I hope so, yes. It's in progress. Yeah. So you're
trying to book things at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've got a certain amount of books. So we've got a launch at Pizza Express, which is going to be
really good.
On the... Mm-hmm. Let me check this date so I don't get it completely wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's the 2nd of April. And it is the 2nd of April at Pizza Express.
How do you get a gig at Pizza Express?
You email...
You just ask the nicely.
...person and cool. You say, please come have a gig.
Oh, wow.
And eventually they give you one. So that's cool. And then we've got a gig at Band on the Wall as well in Manchester.
Oh, nice.
Which is really nice. That's going to be like a really special one because that's a bit of a kind of homecoming.
Because
I live, like my folks live like 2 minutes walk from Band on the Wall. And
yeah.
So you know, Band on the Wall, like it was kind of iconic venue, like, you know.
In the 90s.
It closed for years. That's it. It closed for years. And then it reopened again. And when it reopened was when I was doing my year out, when I was trying to get good at the saxophone. Yeah. And so I was like, I got a job working behind the bar there when it first opened again. So we were in like the first team of people.
Wow.
And it was so cool. It felt like a real part of like history, you know, this like really iconic building. And obviously it had a massive refurbishment and everything, but still had a lot of that kind of history and tradition in it. So it's really exciting. And I basically got paid to like sit behind the bar and watch like Jerry Bergonzi and like Mike Walker and loads of amazing gigs that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. And,
wow.
And yeah, and I was just, yeah. So that was amazing. And so to go back. So I kind of, I have a lot of fond sort of ties with that place.
Yeah.
So it's really, really cool to be doing a gig there. So we're kind of doing, so the, we're sort of doing a London launch and a Manchester launch, and so that's going to be Pizza Express and Band on the Wall. Sweet. And then we've got various other gigs as well, sort of around the country that yeah. we are filling out at the moment. But yeah, if you're in London or Manchester, come to one of those. Manchester's on the 5th of April. Awesome. So Pizza Express 2nd, Band on the Wall 5th. So yeah, so it's exciting. But
that's really cool.
No one really tells you that there's like, it's really hard to do an album. It's really hard to book a tour.
I can imagine. I'm actually recording my own album tomorrow.
And are you?
Yeah.
Are you actually?
Yeah.
That's genuinely amazing.
It's
great.
Really interesting. Like, and it's really similar to what you were saying about the story. It's one long piece. It's 50 minutes, and there's one story, spoken word, that runs through the whole thing.
That's amazing.
Because I really like the like through composed, adventure style.
So what's going on? Who have you got playing on that?
It's with Rob Luft on guitar, Elliot Galvin on piano, and John Ormston on drums. Oh, just the four of us.
Oh, glorious.
Yeah, and it's all freely improvised, but it's set to NASA and like Soviet space.
Yeah, era. Like you did at the Naturist Festival.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's cool. Man.
The NASA website, the copyright laws have been updated, and it's really clear that you can use the recordings.
Amazing.
And Trump won't come after you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I didn't want, so I sat on it for years and not recorded it. But when I saw the updated policies, I booked a studio
the next day. Wow.
Yeah, and it's really, really useful to do this podcast and to speak to people about their albums, labels, and mixing. And I've learned loads just by listening.
Mm.
Well, that's all I know about anything. It's just because everyone else is doing it.
Well, that's the only way I've learned anything. It's just by constantly pestering a few people who have previously recorded albums.
Yeah.
But
I've still got lots to find out, I know, because I'm right at the start. I'm like, oh, this has to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like, it's like hard work, but it's definitely a lot of fun. And most of the time. You know what I mean? Like, the goal is always in sight. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have sort of times when you're kind of inside the computer for like, you know, the whole day, and you're like, you know, contemplating life.
Yeah.
And you kind of just, you have to just like remember that it's, I usually just sort of like put the album on or something, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. That was worth it. It's worth it. You know? Obviously, there's the days when you put the album on and you're like, oh God, none of it was worth it.
Well, it's hard. It's definitely a lot on the show. As a freelance jazz musician, you're so much more than just like practicing and playing a few gigs. You know, you've got like, what? You've just got so many different jobs to do that are all your job.
Because
you're promoting your own album, and you're booking your own tour.
That's it, yeah. It has been quite, I've been trying to, at first I kind of deeply resented having to do those things, but I've since learned to just embrace them and trying to learn about them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just learn some new skills, and because, you know, if that's the only way to get my music out there, then it's worth it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm proud of what I've made, and I want people to hear it, so.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, no, I'm excited, yeah. It's been a long time, feels like it's been a long time coming, you know, because I was writing the music for, a good year or so before we recorded, and then it's about a year since we recorded, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to share it with the world.
Yeah. Tell us about your hobbies away from the saxophone.
Okay, one thing that probably would have tied in with what we were saying earlier about why I got the band name and that way of writing was I like reading.
You are drinking tea out of a Penguin Books mug.
I am. I did actually get this is not mine, and I have not read that book, My Man Jeeves by Woodhouse, which I should have read probably. I got that off Matt Heard.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, he's just moved, and so he was just clearing out loads of stuff. I just stole loads of stuff. It was fantastic,
Great.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I've been getting into reading and into short stories, which are fantastic.
What kind of things you
I read some... into? I was just reading them the other day, some Ian McEwan short stories.
Right.
There's an amazing collection called First Love, Last Rites.
Right.
Which, I don't know if you've...
No, I don't.
Have you come across him?
No.
He wrote, like, Atonement and stuff.
Okay.
So he wrote Atonement, but then he's got a lot of stuff, which he did, I think, which is a bit earlier.
Yeah.
Which is, like, quite dark, but beautiful and amazingly well-written. And just, like, really like a joy to read, really easy to read, and
yeah,
and so they were great. So so actually one of the tunes is named after our first cool. Lovelace writes. So that's really cool. There's a great collection of Roald Dahl wrote loads of short stories,
yeah,
fantastic, which are like for adults, you know, because obviously he's famous for his kids' books.
Yeah,
but do you know any of those?
Like, no, I don't.
Like Kiss Kiss Bang.
No, you put me to school, Sam. I don't know anything.
Yeah. I'll give you some to take away.
That'd be great.
I can't remember what they're individually called, but I just got a big, it's sort of collection, you know, like volume one, complete right. short stories kind of thing. And it's got, they're great. They're really, really fun. Yeah, so that and, I don't know what else. I'm reading a Kazuo Ishiguro book called Never Let Me Go.
Cool.
Which I think is quite a well-known one. He's quite cool. He's really like sort of quite a gentle pace.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, when you see those films where like nothing really happens,
mm-hmm.
but it just kind of goes, it's the same, like you get music like that as well. And it's,
yeah.
and I love it. It's like, it's quite meditative, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, there's things developing, but sort of doesn't really, there's no like big climax and then the ending's like, you know, it's just kind of, sort of happens, and it's just
nice.
A really nice experience, yeah. you know. And it was quite. I remember the first book I read of his was great at a time when I was like, you know, I was like in the middle of college and like living in London, and everything was mental and stressful.
Yeah.
And it was this book called An Artist of the Floating World, and it was just, it's just like nothing, like not really much happened. It's just really yeah. like gentle. It just sort of trickles along, and it was a real like respite to sit and
yeah.
just read that. So he's really cool.
Yeah,
he's a very good author. But so yeah, lots of reading when I can. What else do I do? I don't know. I like swimming, but obviously I can't swim at the moment because of the old elbows.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, last year we did JJ Wheeler's album together.
Yeah,
and we were both swimming like every day.
There you go.
We were like comparing arms.
Yeah. yeah. So I'm excited to get back onto that. And that'll be a good one for, like, getting in. That'll help with the elbow and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That'll be a gentle one to get back into.
Yeah.
But yeah, apart from that, I don't know. Just shredding on the saxophone.
Nice, yeah.
Mainly.
Being burning and sick.
Being absolutely killing at jazz, yeah. So, I do like games as well. It's really sad. I not like video games. Like
board games.
Board games.
Yeah.
I feel like I shouldn't be admitting this in public.
No, it's fine. It's good.
I've just learned...
what's your favourite board game?
Well, I just like, it's not really a board game, it's a card game, but do you know how to play cribbage?
No, I don't think so.
It's the best. We should learn.
We should do it.
I'm going to come to yours and we're going to... I learned on Kieran Cloud.
We love some card games.
Yeah. We'll and you get a little board. Oh, I'll show you the board afterwards.
Oh, yes.
And it's just... It brings me such joy.
Oh, I want that. We're really into Monopoly Deal.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's an absolute beauty.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Board games.
Cribbage.
Get on it.
Sick
yeah.
of burning. Sam, thank you so much.
No worries. Thanks a lot, man.
Jazz podcast.
Love you to chat.
It's been a pleasure. That's how the music goes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Go on the Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
Pledge.
Do it now.
Buy the album. Hey.
I enjoyed that, Dan.
That was great.
So, as I said, next week, hopefully, will be Shane Forbes. And if not, then goodness knows what's going on. Leo Richardson, I'd like to try to make a podcast with Leo about his album as well. Which has just come out.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah. I've got a message from
him. Try and get his dad on.
Yeah, that'd be great. His dad's a bassist, right?
Yeah, he played with loads of people. Played with Chet Baker. There's a long list.
Oh boy. I did not realise that was the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Let's figure it out. What's Leo's dad's name?
Jim.
I want to do a podcast that's called Leo Richardson's Dad.
Yeah.
That's what I reckon.
That's what I think needs to happen.
Are you Googling who he's played with?
Yeah, I am actually. Dexter Gordon, Chet Baker.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah, let's get him on.
Big time. Yes, please. Right, Dan, this is it for us. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Great.
And we'll see you on Friday.
Yeah.
Is it next Friday or the following Friday?
Probably the following Friday. Maybe Leo's show can be next week. Depends.
Okay.
How
great.
It's quite hard to organise jazz musicians. So
why is that?
Oh, you know, they're just really disorganised and ridiculous.
I knew that was what you were going to say. I just wanted you to say it.
So, yeah. Also, because we haven't done a show for a while, everyone's caught up, which is nice.
Oh, yeah. How are we doing on the stats? Have we broken 10K yet? Oh,
no, we are super close. So get listening, people. If you've already listened to this show and you've made it to here...
just listen to it again.
Yes. Do us a favour and play it again.
We are... we're very close, Rob.
Yeah. Let's not give anything away, but we are...
546 listens away.
From 10K. Anything away.
Plays.
Yeah. We've blossomed into a behemoth. And on that note...
oh, look, who's topping the most popular episodes? If without looking, who would you guess? Actually, you know who's going to be top.
Yeah.
But who do you think's second and third?
Second is very interesting. Actually, I'm a real numbers nerd, so I remember like the top five.
Oh, okay. It probably upset Kit if you told him he was second.
Yeah, it would. There's been a lot of chat. Kit Downs and James Madron seem to be sworn enemies.
Mm-hmm.
He's like
and Kit's had longer. He was episode 6, whereas James was episode 9.
Oh, that's just. I mean.
What does this tell us?
This tells us a lot about society in general.
Mm.
What it tells me is that it helps to be huge in another country.
Is James huge in another country?
Yeah, most of James Madron's show plays were in Germany.
Ah.
Yeah, we became pretty big for about a week in Berlin. And okay. Then it died down again.
Actually, people know who number one is. Have we? I don't know, maybe it's not that obvious.
No. And I don't know how I feel about publicising it.
Why don't we do a new competition to win Leo's album?
Oh my goodness, the competition! Somebody won it!
Yeah, I know. Who won it?
She was called Paula Wilkes. And right. She emailed me, and she absolutely nailed it. First try. Hey, Rob, I think Kenny Wheeler was a postman.
Great.
That is literally how it went. And I was just like, absolutely right. And I sent her the album.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Did anyone else email in?
No. She won by default.
She won.
Not only, she would have won even if she had the wrong answer, Dan.
Why are we doing this?
My God, after 7 days, I got an email from her and I was so pleased to get one that I was just like, you have literally immediately won this competition. I don't care if, you know.
If you want to win, I'm sure Leo will give us an album.
I got some Brass Funkies albums here as well.
If you want to get us to send you an album, email in with who you think is our most popular episode. Any answer will probably win because nobody even bothers to enter.
No, it's perfect. The easiest competitions to win right now are the Jazz Podcast. And the email is thejazzpodcastuk@gmail.com.
Nice.
Yeah, easy.
Great. Well, I'm getting Domino's pizza, so I'll see you later.
Sick. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.